Thank you so much, choir and orchestra. Y'all have been a real blessing to us today, and now we're ready for the preaching of God's Word. We're just moving faithfully through these Ten Commandments found in Exodus chapter 20, the second book of the Bible, and the sermon series title is The Perfect Ten, and we as believers ought to aim at being a perfect ten, but I'm afraid that as we have gone through this study, we've seen how we are nothing more than lawbreakers and perhaps a perfect zero. I can certainly testify to that because I've broken every one of these laws many, many times, and I know that perhaps you feel the same way as we take a serious inventory of our own spiritual lives and looking at the righteous demands of these Ten Commandments. And we've worked our way up to the ninth commandment in Exodus chapter 20 and verse 16, which just plainly states that thou shalt not bear false witness against your neighbor. In other words, don't lie about your neighbor. Don't lie to your neighbor. And I know a lot of you are thinking, well, I'm not an outlandish liar. I don't know that I really have broken this commandment. Well, you might not be as bad a liar as 9 GIs that I heard about. Their commanding officer was very, very upset with them. They had gotten a pass, and they didn't show up for the morning roll call. As a matter of fact, the first GI didn't show up until 7 p.m. that night, and his commanding officer was awaiting him and his explanation for being so late. And the GI said, you know, Colonel, I have to admit, I am late, but I had every intention to be back here on time. I was out on a date, and I lost track of time, and I missed the bus back to camp, and so I hired a cab, and we were going along in the cab just fine, and the cab broke down. We were in the middle of the country, and so I saw this farmhouse in the distance, and I went to the farmhouse, and I asked the farmer if he would sell me one of his horses, and so I started riding back to camp on this horse, and the horse fell over dead in the road, and so I walked the remaining 10 miles. Well, the colonel was very skeptical, but he just gave him a harsh reprimand and awaited the remaining 8 GIs and their explanation. Well, 7 of them came back one by one, and they had similar excuses as the first GI. It was the same story, out on a date, lost track of time, missed the bus back to camp, hired a cab, the cab broke down, saw a farmhouse, approached the farmer, asked if he could buy a horse, bought the horse fell over dead in the road, and he walked the remaining 10 miles back to the camp. There was one lone GI that hadn't come back, the ninth and final GI. And the commanding officer was awaiting him and his explanation. He had his arms crossed, just wondering what he would hear from this guy. And so the guy comes in humility and contrition and says to the colonel, "Colonel, I was out on a date, and I lost track of time. I missed my bus back to the camp, so I hired a cab," and the colonel growled, "Stop! Stop! Stop! I know the rest of the story. The cab broke down," and the GI interrupted, "No, sir. The cab didn't break down. We just couldn't get through the road because of all the dead horses in the road." Well, you might not be that outlandish of a liar. You might relate more to the teenager who had a midnight curfew, and he was out till the wee hours of the morning on the night, breaking his curfew. As a matter of fact, it was 2 a.m. Everyone was asleep in the house, and he snuck into the darkened home, hoping not to wake up his father, and he had to climb the stairs to his bedroom, and had done real good till he got to that squeaky stair step, and when he stepped on it, it creaked loudly, alarming the entire house, including his father, who sat up straight in the bed in the darkness of the night, and he said, "Justin, is that you?" And the teenager said, "Yes, Dad, it's me." And then the father cried out from his bed, "What time is it, Justin?" And before he could get a word out of his mouth, the cuckoo clock struck two times. Without hesitation, the teenager cuckooed 10 more times. I can tell that sounds familiar to a lot of y'all. Maybe you're not as bad a liar as this one boy. He was a notorious liar. And there was a man in his church that wanted to break him of this awful habit of lying. And he had a strategy in mind. He thought he would tell him such an outlandish lie that would so shock him with this obvious lie that he would no longer want to lie. And so this older man approached this notorious liar, this young boy, and he tells him this outlandish lie. This is the way it began. He said, "You know, son, there was a pink and purple polka-dotted poodle that whipped a giant green gruesome gorilla in a fight." He said, "Can you believe that?" And the young boy, without hesitation, said, "I sure can. That was my dog." Well, maybe you're not that bad a liar. But maybe you sometimes color the truth. Maybe sometimes you tell white lies. Maybe sometimes you tell half-truths. Maybe you're notorious for making excuses for things that you know and everyone else knows that you should have done. It's a real problem in the United States of America. As a matter of fact, there's been a study that says that the average American lies 25 times per day. That's almost one time per hour, but then when you factor in perhaps 8 hours of sleeping, that would mean that the average American lies perhaps as many as 6 times per hour. Another survey was done, and 66% of Americans said that they saw no problem with someone lying. Another 33% of Americans disagreed with the statement that honesty is the best policy. Perhaps you know the name Dr. Leonard Keller. Dr. Leonard Keller is the inventor of the lie detector machine. And he has tested over 25,000 people on his lie detector machine. And he has concluded that we human beings are basically dishonest. It's a real problem in the United States of America. And I am afraid to say, as the pastor of First Baptist Noonan, it's a problem in our ranks. It's a problem with blood-bought believers. People sitting in this church house singing praises this morning. You know, St. Augustine said that there are 8 different kinds of lies. Mark Twain enlarged on that and said there are 869 different kinds of lies. I'm going to offer you in your listening guide today 5 different types of lies. But I must begin by asking you a question. Where do lies come from? Where do lies come from? Well, the Bible tells us. In fact, Jesus told us in John's Gospel, the 8th chapter, the 44th verse. It says there, the Lord saying, "The devil is the father of all lies." That's where lies come from. They come from the pit of hell. They come from the devil himself. You think about the lies that the devil has told. He has lied to man about God beginning there in the Garden of Eden. Remember the lies that Lucifer told Eve in the Garden of Eden, that God's some kind of cosmic killjoy. He doesn't want you to be fulfilled. He doesn't want you to have complete knowledge and happiness and joy. And he has continued in that lying scheme as he continues to whisper into our ears, even sitting here in this worship service, as I am preaching truth to you, he is lying to you about God. Not uncommon. The devil shows up quite regularly here at First Baptist Church of Noonan, Georgia, and he whispers all kinds of deceit and falsehood into our ears. But the devil not only lies to man about God, but we look in the book of Job and we see where the devil lies to God about man. Right there in the first chapter of Job is the devil enters into heaven's court and he points out this upright, righteous man, the most godly man of his day, Job, and he lies to God about Job. And so here's the point. If the devil is the father of all lies, when you and I lie, we're acting like a child of the devil. And we don't need to participate in these five types of lies. What's the first kind of lie there in your listening guide? It is the punishing lie. It's where you intentionally and maliciously try to harm or get at some innocent victim, or you try to get back at someone who has harmed you. Perhaps they have hurt you deeply. Perhaps they've even lied about you. And you do this through slander, through gossip, through innuendo, and through rumor. What's the motive for the punishing lie? Well, several motives. Revenge, hurt, anger, resentment, bitterness, jealousy. Reminds me of a ship's captain, and he was writing in his log at the end of one day that the first mate was drunk today. When the first mate learned of it, he begged the captain to please take that entry out of the log, but the captain refused. The next day, the first mate was in charge of writing in the log, and he wrote this. He said, "The captain was sober today." Through that slight bit of innuendo, he cast some doubt about the captain and his sobriety. Many times we believers, through gossip, oh, you can take your halos off right now, through gossip, through rumor, through innuendo, and through slander, break the ninth commandment through the punishing lie. Right there, you're in Exodus 20. You might want to take a right-hand turn in your Bible. A couple more chapters to Exodus chapter 23, verse 1. And see what it has to say about this. Exodus 23 and verse number 1 says, I'm going to just wait till I hear those pages stop turning. Well, that's music to any Bible preacher's ears. That's why I don't put my scripture up on the screen. I want you to bring a Bible to church, and I want you to check it out on your own. Don't let me do your Bible study for you, okay? You check it out. You bring your Bible. Don't leave your brain out on the doorstep. You come in here with your brain fully intact and with an open Bible and study to show yourself approved. See for yourself. Don't take my word for it. That's how a lot of people fall into cults. Okay, I've stopped hearing the pages turn. Exodus 23 and verse number 1 says this, "You shall not circulate a false report." Oh, but there are so many of us. So many of us that love to hear a juicy story, a little bit of rumor, a little bit of gossip, a little bit of innuendo, a little bit of slander. And I wonder how many times this commandment has been broken in the short time you've already been here at church this morning. God's Spirit is heavy with conviction on this commandment because we believers are guilty of breaking this commandment. You shall not lie. Well, there's a second kind of lie there in your listening guide, the protective lie. This is where we lie to escape consequences, to avoid punishment, to protect our own hide, to save our own skin. And the motive, pure and simple, for this protective lie is fear. We're scared half to death that we're going to be punished. We are fearful that the consequences of our bad judgment are going to be visited upon us, so we save our own hide, we protect our own skin by breaking the ninth commandment. And we're programmed at the earliest age for avoiding trouble. One statistician has said that 70% of children from 2.5 years old to 3 years old lie to avoid the consequences. It's the old "my dog ate my homework" blame game. And that blame game is as old as the Garden of Eden itself, where Adam blamed his wife Eve for his own falling, for his own sin, for his own disgrace. You know, you can seek to protect yourself through telling a lie by not even opening your mouth. Did you know that? Did you know you could break this commandment by not even opening your mouth, without even a word passing over your lips? How many times have you been in a group of people and you have heard a clear falsehood about someone else or some other situation? You knew the truth. You knew that it was wrong. But to protect yourself and your own standing in the eyes of these people who were passing these falsehoods around, you didn't say one word. You broke the ninth commandment. You lied without saying one word because you knew the truth and you did not correct the error. Christians are guilty of this all the time. How many times have we believers heard unjust accusations of God Almighty in the break room, in the locker room, in the workplace, in our homes, in our neighborhoods? How many times have you heard falsehoods shared about God, His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and Christianity in general, and not wanting to be persecuted for standing up toe-to-toe and eyeball-to-eyeball and saying, "That's not right. That's not the truth." You, like a coward, cowered in a corner and said nothing, to protect your own hide, to save your own skin. You have broken the ninth commandment. You have lied. You have bore false witness just to protect yourself. Well, there's a third kind of lie there in your listening guide, the prideful lie. Oh, and this is alive and well in the ranks of church members. We lie to impress. We lie to cover up our own low self-esteem. We exaggerate. Oh boy, I can't tell you how many times I have heard poor, insecure believers try to build themselves up in my eye as some kind of super saints, some kind of super spiritual person. I tell you what, if you have to boast about your own spirituality, it's a pretty good indication that you're not spiritual at all. It's a pretty good indication that you're about as spiritual as a number 10 tub, and spiritually you're deader than a hammer. If you have to prop yourself up and build yourself up to your brothers and sisters in Christ, that is the prideful lie. We exaggerate about how smart we are, how big we are, how strong we are. Oh, yeah, that kind of lie is alive and well in the church of the living God, and the motive is insecurity. These kind of people, the fish always gets bigger. Have you noticed that? They fill out resumes. They kind of puff up their resumes. As a matter of fact, one statistician says that 40% of all people who do their own resumes kind of build it up and stretch the truth, which is nothing more than a lie. They'll exaggerate their numbers. They'll exaggerate their statistics. They'll exaggerate what they have done in their previous employment. And friend, that's nothing but a lie. That is a prideful lie, trying to impress other people that you're better than what you really are. You know, so many times we are guilty of this prideful lie when someone hurts us. Someone wounds us deeply, and many times we'll lie and say, "You know, that didn't bother me. Just water off a duck's back. Didn't bother me at all." You know what? If it hurt you, you ought to tell that person, "When you said that, when you did that, it hurt me. But so many times when we're hurt by another person, we'll lie the prideful lie and we'll say, just go ahead and leave. I won't miss you. You didn't get to me. That's a prideful lie. Why do we do it? To hide our own insecurity, to hide our own hurt. Well, there is a fourth kind of lie. It's the planned lie. To manipulate other people, to con them. The motive for this is greed and selfishness. How many times have you heard this statement? And I quote, this offer is limited to the first 100 people that call in. How many times have you heard this? Give me your number and the doctor will call you right back. How many times have you heard this planned lie? I just need 5 minutes of your time. Boy, I tell you, if I could count the number of times people have said, Pastor, I just need 5 minutes of your time. Always, always turns into an hour. The planned lie. I'm sick and I can't come into work today. Oh, I know no one here's ever done that. You know what that is, friend? That is a planned lie. You should be ashamed of yourself as a believer. You should be ashamed of yourself as a blood-bought Christian to lie in such a way. It's a premeditated kind of lie. How many of you have heard or made this statement? The check is in the mail. Planned lie. Well, there's a fifth and final kind of lie. I call it the practical lie. We lie because it takes too much energy. It takes too much effort to just tell the truth. It's just easier to lie than to tell the truth. It's more convenient. It's more expedient. It's more handy. It's more diplomatic in some cases. It's more polite in some cases. It's just practical sometimes to tell these kinds of lies. Like when your kids ask you a question that you just feel like is going to blow a circuit to try to answer, instead of giving them a truthful, thoughtful, answer, you just pull the wool over their eyes. It takes too much energy, too much effort to just tell the truth. Just a practical lie. Just a little white lie. Just a little half-truth. Well, I tell you what, a half-truth is a whole lie. No harm done in this diplomatic, polite kind of lie. So many times the police officer pulls Christians over and we say, I didn't see that sign. The practical lie. So many times we make these kind of lies in social situations because we don't want to hurt someone. We don't want to offend someone. We've been invited to a social gathering and you say at some point, you know, I really need to get home and get to bed. Boy, I need to take medicine or my babysitter has a curfew. Instead of just being honest and saying, you know what, I am bored to tears. I need to leave because I just don't want to be here. I want to be with my family. What's wrong with saying, I just want to be with my family on the weekend? Well, why can't we just do that instead of having to offer these practical lies? So many times we do it in other ways by saying, you know what, I didn't get that message or I didn't read that email yet, but you saw it in your preview pane, didn't you? You just didn't double-click on it. So even if they have ways of knowing if you clicked on it, you've already seen it, you've already read it, but you lied through your teeth. I didn't get the message. I haven't read that email yet. How about this one? I'll be praying for you. Wow. Got real quiet here. I tell you what, there's lots of opportunities when you come to a typical Sunday morning worship time in Sunday school because there's lots of prayer requests shared. People will come up to you and say, you know, I've got this hurt, I've got this burden. And many times the Sunday school response is to say, I'll be praying for you. I'll be praying for you. And we never do. We never do. We've broken that ninth commandment. I tell you, it's not an unusual thing to go out these doors on a Sunday morning where Amy and I are standing and greeting people, and someone will come out the door and they'll be broken and burdened about something, and I'll say, well, I'll be praying for you. As a matter of fact, let's just stop right now and let's just pray. I don't care if there's a mile, a long line behind us. They can wait. Let's just pray right now. I mean, what's wrong with that? What would be wrong with you stopping someone in this aisle or in this hallway or out on the sidewalk and say, can we just pray? Let's just pray right now. That's what we ought to do to keep from breaking this ninth commandment, saying, I'll pray for you, and then we never do it. We never think about it again. How many times have you sat in your home and the phone rings? You don't want to pick it up. You let the answering machine pick it up and say, we're sorry, we're not here at this time. That's a bold-faced lie. You have lied. You have broken the ninth commandment. You know what an excuse is? Here's a good definition of an excuse. An excuse is a reason. It is a reason wrapped, or let me say that again. I got it mixed up. An excuse is a lie wrapped in a reason. See what it is? It's like an enchilada. The lie is in the middle of that enchilada, and you wrap it in a reason. That's what an excuse is. You make excuses for not doing your homework. You make excuses for not doing what you're supposed to do at work. You make excuses for not doing what God expects you to do. It's just a lie. But we dress it up in Sunday morning clothes with a reason. God sees through that. He knows that at the heart of it, it is a lie. So many times we lie and we don't realize it. And God is convicting us right now with the falsehood and the deception that is in our lives. So, preacher, make this practical for me. How can I be truthful? I'm going to give you three C's. Three C's that I hope you'll write down that will help you to be truthful. First of all, tell the truth completely. Tell the truth completely. Again, half-truths are nothing more than a whole lie. Proverbs 10:10 says this, someone who holds back the truth causes trouble. In other words, concealing the truth causes trouble. What kind of trouble? Resentment, mistrust, superficiality. Say what you mean and mean what you say. Tell the truth completely. This is what the Bible says in Proverbs 28:23. In the end, people will appreciate frankness more than flattery. You're a supervisor at work, an employee, someone that's under you needs to be reprimanded. Instead of burying your head in the sand like an ostrich, you ought to go to them and be completely frank with them and show them where they are failing as an employee. And I'll guarantee you so many times that employee sometime down the road will come back and thank you. They will thank you for being truthful with them so that they could see the error of their way and they could correct it. Tell the truth completely. But not only tell the truth completely, tell the truth consistently. In other words, tell the truth all the time. I want to ask the wives a question here. How many of you would like a husband that is 95% faithful? Any wives here like a husband that's 95% faithful? How many of you spouses would like someone that told you the truth 80% of the time? You ought to want a spouse that's going to tell you the truth consistently. Consistently. You know, whenever I do marriage ceremonies, during the ring ceremony, I love pointing out the stone that is in the bride's ring. And I point out that such stones are judged in four ways. They're judged by color, by carat, by cut, and by a fourth way, by clarity, by transparency. And I'll tell that young bride, and I'll tell that young groom, and in front of all the assembled witnesses and the assembled witnesses of heaven, that every time you look at that stone in that wedding ring and you see its clarity, you see its transparency, let it be a reminder to you. Let it be a daily, moment-by-moment reminder to you to tell the truth to your spouse. Because no human relationship works apart from total and complete honesty. Be consistent in telling the truth. I tell you what happens. You have to be a good memory to be a liar. Did you know that? You have to remember what story, what falsehood you told, and who you told it to. If you're a bad liar, a lot of times you'll get caught because you'll forget who you told your falsehood to. And you'll even forget the details of that deception. You know what? If you're telling the truth all the time, if you're telling the truth consistently, you don't have to remember what the story is. You don't have to remember about who you told. Oh, friend, we need to tell the truth completely. We need to tell the truth consistently. And then here's the third thing. You need to tell the truth compassionately. Let me give you two verses here. Ephesians and 4, verse 15. Speak the truth in love. Proverbs 16:23. Intelligent people think before they speak. Contemplate before you communicate. That's worth writing down. Let me say that again. Contemplate before you communicate. In other words, learn how to weigh your words. Think before you speak. A lot of you don't know what you think until you hear yourself saying it. You just run off at the mouth all the time. And you find out what you really think when you hear yourself saying it to someone else. Friend, you need to put your mind in gear before you put your mouth in gear. If a lot of us would start doing that, we would learn how to do this third C, and that is to tell the truth compassionately. A lot of us need a new heart. A lot of us need a heart transplant. The Lord Jesus said in the Gospel of Matthew, the 12th verse, the 12th chapter, 34th verse, the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. Friend, if your heart is full of deceit, if your heart is full of falsehood, then guess what's going to come out of your mouth all the time? All kinds of lies. All kinds of falsehoods. Jesus, again, speaking in the Gospel of Matthew, the 15th chapter, the 19th verse, says, for out of the heart comes lying. We need a new heart. We need a heart transplant. And we need to hear the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus said in the Gospel of John, you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. It's a difficult truth, friend. I love you enough to tell you the truth. Not many preachers around here will tell you the truth. But I'll tell you this. If you're lost without Jesus, you're going to hell. That's the truth. There's not many preachers that will tell you that truth. They'll sugarcoat it. They'll try to tickle your ears. But here's the truth. According to the Word of God, Jesus had twice as much to say about hell as He did heaven. And the truth is, if you never trust Jesus as your Savior, according to the Word of God, not according to this preacher, but according to the Word of God, you'll spend eternity in hell. But here's the truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Oh, dear friend, all of us are hopeless without Jesus. We can't keep these Ten Commandments. We've broken them all many, many times. We can't be good enough on our own. But Jesus says, here's the truth. I came to suffer and bleed and die so that you could have the forgiveness of sins. Now, I know what's happening right now. The old devil, he's got right beside you there in the pew. And he's whispering to you. He's saying, that preacher's not telling you the truth. You're too bad to be saved. He doesn't know what you did last night. He doesn't know what you did last week. He doesn't know what you did 10 years ago, 30 years ago. No, I don't. But I do know this. If Jesus can do what He's done for me, He can do the same thing for you. That's the truth. So you've got a choice now. You can respond in faith to the truth. You can respond in trust to the truth. Or you can walk away in disbelief and doubt. The choice is yours. The truth has been laid out. What will you do with it? As every head is bowed and every eye is closed. Father, how we do thank you so much for Jesus. How we do thank you that He is not only the embodiment of truth, He is the truth. And how your truth has been spoken from your word today. And even though it's difficult and it hurts many times, it shows us what we are like without you. And Father, I pray for that soul that is nearest hell today, that they would trust you. That they would trust you with everything that is in them. They would come to you by faith. I pray for those who have been begging you to show them what you want them to do in their job, in their career, in decisions like a church home. And I pray that you would guide them in truth, that you would be the light of the world to them, that you would show them the path, then that they would follow you in childlike trust and belief. And we ask all of this in the matchless name of Jesus. Amen.